So let's go right to the word. You have your Bible tonight. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, if you will. Praise God. Romans chapter 8. I brought a little something with me tonight. You say, you've been down there at Reese's. Reese's is a local grocery store for anyone who may not know that. But I brought something with me tonight because, first of all, my sermon title tonight, The Resurrection Connection. The Resurrection Connection. I'll explain that in a minute. The Resurrection Connection. I wonder if you'd help me with that. Look at somebody and tell them he's speaking on the Resurrection Connection. You better listen up. You know, in our modern society, you know, we are so blessed, especially in this Western culture, we get so many benefits of technology and things. But if you have a furnace or an air conditioner, you know, a refrigerator or a car, then what's inside this bag is very important to you. You say, what is it, Brother Bill, a biscuit? No, it's not a biscuit. If it was a biscuit, I ordered to eat the biscuit. It's not a biscuit. What's in this bag is something that has proven to be very, very important to you. If you've got a furnace at home, you got an air conditioner, you got a refrigerator, you got a car, what's in this bag, man, plays a big role daily in our life. What's in this bag? I'm going to pull it out here. I've got it right there. What's my title tonight? Oh, I got the right crowd. The Resurrection Connection. All right. So what's in, you say, what is in this bag? What is in this bag, brother? Another box. Now let's just open it here now. Oh, there it is. Oh, man. Feast your eyes on that. How many know what this is? It's a thermostat. It's a thermostat. And a lot of what we're saying tonight will relate to this thermostat. You know, I've got a, Tony and I, we have a great thermostat at home. We have a thermostat that has geofencing. Have you heard of this, geofencing? And the thermostat picks up where your phone is. So when you get within a mile of the house, then it kicks on. The either if it's too hot, whatever temperature you want it to be when you get there, when you get within a mile of the house, the geofencing kicks on the thermostat, and if it's supposed to be cooler, by the time we come in the door, it's already at that temperature. Or if the house is cold and it's supposed to be warmer, you come in the door, and it already automatically heats up the thermostat. When I set the thermostat, I never walk around complaining. If I'm cold at the house, I just make sure the thermostat is set. You know what a thermostat is? A thermostat, listen, this device is able to monitor, it's able to perceive what the current temperature is. But then it's also able to be programmed with a specific set point. And it takes the information from the set point given by you or I, and it programs that information. So the thermostat, while on the one hand recognizing what the current temperature is, the thermostat then activates whatever it needs, the cooling or the heating. It activates that to bring the temperature to the set point that you or I desire. So when you're in the car, there's a thermostat in the car, and that thermostat is determining whether your car is heating or cooling. How many are comfortable in this building right now? It's because the thermostat's working right. But have you ever been in a car or a house where the thermostat stopped working? Anybody but Brother Bill ever been there? Oh, man, it is unpleasant. And you can get in this Oklahoma heat, and then your thermostat stopped working? You got big trouble problems. Yeah. At one time, my thermostat stopped working in my car. I went to the mechanic, and he said, you got a thermostat problem. And he said, your car won't cool. I said, well, I said it. Said, your thermostat. He said, your thermostat is stuck. Anybody ever heard about a stuck thermostat? Yeah. When it gets stuck, when your thermostat gets stuck, then even though you have set it for the right temperature, it won't bring it to the right temperature because maybe that part is worn out, has to be replaced or whatever. But a stuck thermostat, man, you can program it, but it still won't work right. Why are we talking about thermostats tonight, Brother Bill? Because God has created something in the human body that operates much like a thermostat. And there are so many Christians who get their thermostat stuck. And what has been programmed is not able to come to pass because they got a stuck thermostat. Well, stay with me just a minute. Let me put this up and let's talk about it. You go to Romans chapter 8, because we're going to read verse 11 tonight. Romans 8, verse 11, the resurrection connection. Oh, we're talking about the thermostat tonight. There's a thermostat in you. There is a divinely created thermostat in you. It is your mouth. It's your tongue. And your tongue connected to your heart. Your heart is the valve that contains what you believe. And your mouth, our mouth, is the same way that God, who created the world, what did he do? He spoke the world into existence. We're in Romans chapter 8. We're reading verse 11, talking about the resurrection connection. Romans 8, 11. But if the Spirit, I'm reading in New American Standard, if you don't mind, New American Standard. Romans 8, 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Some versions say he'll quicken your mortal body. Anybody in here glad that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is now dwelling on the inside of us if you're a believer? If you're a New Testament believer, then the same Spirit that raised him from the dead, that same mighty power that raised him from the dead, listen now, is dwelling on the inside of you. So often Christians say, well, you know, I know the Bible says that, Brother Bill, but I don't feel that. I don't feel any resurrection power. I don't sense any resurrection power. Well, you know what? Because your thermostat is stuck. You got a stuck thermostat. Because God never told us to go around trying to feel for resurrected power. He just said he had placed the same Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that same resurrection power, God said it's on the inside of you. I said you might as well accept it. God didn't say you had to feel it to accept it. That's what most Christians do. They're waiting until they feel it. That's how the thermostat gets stuck. But when God has said something about you and I, we ought to just accept it as true. And I don't know about you, but if God says something is true, that's all right with me. That's enough for me to believe it. I said, if God said it, that's enough for me to believe it. And the scripture says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Think about that. Resurrection power dwells on the inside of you. How do we activate that power? Well, we know this: faith activates the power. And when we open our mouth to confess what we believe, the promises of God's word, then things and circumstances will change. Using a natural thermostat, and you set that thermostat, and man, I don't ever walk around my house saying, well, I set the thermostat. Oh, when's it going to change? Is it going to change? Is it going to change? I'm still hot. No. No, once I set the thermostat, I go about my business. You know why? Because I know that the thermostat is going to regulate the temperature to the set point that I chose. I don't even worry about it. So if it's hot at the moment, I know this: it ain't going to be hot in a few moments. Because the thermostat will kick in. I wish I had a bigger amen. I feel like I'm doing a much better job teaching this sermon than y'all are saying amen. I'm talking about the regulator. Our mouth is a regulator. Our mouth is a Holy Ghost regulator. There's resurrection power down on the inside of you, and the regulator to that resurrection power is using your mouth to confess what's coming out of your heart. And your mouth confessing God's word coming out of your heart has the power to change scenarios and circumstances and situations, and things around us must change. And just like the thermostat, most of us set the thermostat, we don't even worry about it anymore in the car. Once the thermostat is set, don't even worry about it anymore. Because I know the car is going to bring it to the desired, the thermostat will bring the temperature in the car to the desired set point. But when we use our mouth connected to what we believe in our heart from God's word, saying and speaking the promises of God's word, using the authority, our God-given authority. Oh, man. And then we use the thermostat. We speak it and set it into existence. Go with me to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, if you will. Oh, there's resurrection power on the inside of you. If you're a New Testament believer, you're a Christian, you're born again, you've received Jesus as your Savior. Doesn't matter what you feel like on tonight. There's resurrection power on the inside of you. Can you say amen? In Romans chapter 4, it says this, verse 16. We'll read 16 and 17. 16 says, "For this reason it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also those who are of faith, the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." Verse 17, "As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you in the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist." God gives life to the dead and calls, he speaks into existence that which does not exist. And he's given us that same ability to claim and to access every promise of his word, everything that he's promised us in the word. Man, we've got that same power to use that thermostat, our mouth, our tongue, and to confess that right into existence. But you got to make sure that your thermostat is not stuck tonight. Lord sent me here to make sure that your thermostat is not stuck, that you're using your tongue, that you're using your mouth. The Bible said, "Have faith in God. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith." You know, Mark 11, 22. But listen, what's that saying? You got a thermostat. The words you speak are important. I remember years ago, John Paul, he was home from college. It was a holiday. I don't remember which one. It might have been the 4th of July. And so, you know, a bunch of people were gathered over at my house, and we were having a good time. I was feeding everybody, you know, and I just had a house full of people. And John Paul, he had brought a friend with him, and that person started saying, you know, they were brand new. They were brand new Christian. And their thermostat got stuck. And I never forget, because at the house, you know, that person started saying, "I sure wish I had another car. I sure don't like my car. If I could just get another car." That person started saying, "My dad would probably help me get a car if my car got hit." And then they started saying this, "I sure wish my car would get hit." I'm telling you, they said, I wish somebody would just hit it right now. They said, "I wish somebody would just hit it right now. Sure wish my car would get hit." And I was thinking, poor thing, they don't even know, you know, they're speaking words like that. You can't speak like that, you know. But they just persisted. "Wish my car would get hit. Wish it would get hit right now." I'll never forget. The Lord's my witness. I'll never forget. There was a knock on the door just a few minutes after that. You know who it was? It was my neighbor. And my neighbor said, "Bill," he said, "now, I know I didn't hit your car, but I backed out. I didn't pay any attention. I know you got all kind of cars out here." He said, "but I backed into somebody's car, and I just had to come and tell you." Guess whose car he hit? You know that's the car. He hit that exact car. He hit that person's car. Because the thermostat got stuck. Because the words that we say are so very important. And when we open our mouth like a thermostat to set the condition as it should be, God's given you and I the power. Through our redemptive reality, he's given us something more precise than a thermostat to set that thing. And we can set the course of maybe not how it is right now, but how it's going to be. So when the Bible said, "let the weak say, I am strong," When your thermostat is working correctly, it won't matter what you're feeling in your body. You'll say what the word says. The word says, I'm strong. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Then I'm strong. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen right there. Yeah. And so everybody was just, you know, they were shocked because they said, well, that's just what you've been saying. You've been sitting right here saying over and over again, you wish somebody would hit your car. And out of all the cars parked in front of my house, there must have been 4 or 5 cars parked in front of my house. He hit that one. Because her thermostat got stuck. Yeah. And someone says, if my thermostat is stuck, Brother Bill, how do you unstick the thermostat? Oh, that's called repentance. That's called, Lord, I'm sorry. Anybody ever been there? Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. God can unstick the thermostat real quick for you. But, you know, go over to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18, if you will. Proverbs 18. What you say, the words you allow to come out of your mouth are so vitally important. Proverbs 18 and 20, 21 is our verse, but Proverbs 18, 20 says, with the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. That's the thermostat. 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Did you see that? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I also like verse 22, since we're so close. I'll just go ahead and read that. We're so close to that scripture. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Thank you, baby. You know, we was right over there by that, so I just threw that one in free of charge. The thermostat. You know, Gideon in Judges chapter 6 and 7 is the story of Gideon. And I'll paraphrase just for the sake of time tonight. Judges chapter 6 or 7, the Lord appears to Gideon and calls him a mighty man of valor. The problem is Gideon's thermostat is stuck. And he says, who, me? You talking to me? He said, it's not me. You call me a mighty man of valor? It's not me. He didn't believe. He did not believe what God said about him. See, something powerful happens when you first of all believe what God has already said about you. And then when you open up that thermostat and you start speaking what God said about you, I tell you, God will move and change. He'll change things in this earth. He'll move mountains for you when you start saying what he's already said about you. And when you start calling him who he is. And you know, we have to speak, his word. Because his word is what our what we're anchored to. We have to speak his word. Listen. We have to speak his word because he himself has said it. He himself has said it. We have to speak his word, listen, secondly, because we have to believe what he has said. And thirdly, we have to speak his word until we see what he said. Speak it because he said it. Speak it because we believe it. And speak it until we see it. Amen. You say, what was that? That's my 3 points tonight. I just gave you my 3 points just like that. But Gideon, back to Gideon. Listen, Gideon, he didn't believe what God said about him. He called him a mighty man of valor. He said, I'm going to use you to go and wipe out Midian and deliver Israel. And Gideon would not believe what God said about him. And Gideon had a force of 22,000 soldiers, and God said, you got too many. I'm going to deliver you with less than that. And Gideon reduced his army down to 10,000. And God said, you got too many. When I deliver you, you'll think you did it. You'll think it was in the strength of your numbers. And God got Gideon down to 300 people. And finally, he told Gideon this in chapter 7. I'm not going to go there for the sake of time. He told Gideon, read Judges chapter 7, you'll see this. He said, if you won't believe what I'm telling you, that you're a mighty man of valor, that I sent you to deliver Israel from the Midianites, that I myself will fight for you, that I've given you the victory. If you won't believe a thing I said, I want you to sneak down to the enemy's camp and listen to what the enemy is saying. And Gideon tiptoed down to the Midianites' camp, the enemy's camp, and put his ear next to the tent. And one of the Midianites had a dream, and he was explaining the dream to the other Midianite in the tent. And they said, oh, that's the Lord. The Lord is going to defeat Midian. That's the Lord is going to defeat Midian through the Midianites through Gideon. And Gideon came back and said, oh, man, let's rise up and do what God told us to do. Whatever the Lord has said to you, my brother and sister, It's time for you to rise up and allow His word to dominate your thinking. Allow His word to dominate what you're saying. Go with me to Isaiah, if you will, 41. Isaiah and 41. Someone said, Brother Bill, I feel so fearful through my current situation. I appreciate what you're saying about my mouth and thermostat and all that, but I feel so fearful tonight. Something's got me feeling fearful. But in Isaiah 41, verse 10, God said, do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I tell you, you ought to get these words that God has already spoken about you. Get these words in your mouth and begin to speak those words out of your mouth. Amen. Somebody else said, yeah, but I'm going through troubled times. I'm passing through the waters. I'm going through the fire. I'm going through the circumstances of trial and tribulation. Go with me to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43 in verse 2. Isaiah 43, verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. Oh, I said, that's a good scripture. I remember a time in my life when I was walking through adversity, and the Lord told me, if you keep your eyes on me, when you come out, you won't even smell like fire. I said, amen. I was reading scriptures like this, and He gave me just a rhema word. When you come out of it, you won't even smell like fire. Won't even smell like smoke. Praise God. I said, amen. And He did that for me. Look over, you're there in Isaiah 43. Look at 43 and verse 26. Look down at verse 26, if you will. Put me in remembrance. Let us argue our case together. State your case that you may be proved right. Yeah. What's that mean? We can state our case with the mighty word of God. State your case with the mighty word of God. Go over to Isaiah 54, if you will. Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54 and verse 17. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that accuses you in judgment you will condemn. And this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. I tell you, somebody ought to get their thermostat unstuck tonight and begin to declare what God has already said about you. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Somebody said, well, with all this talk about thermostats, Brother Bill, you don't know my situation. I'm broke as I want to be. Your thermostat is stuck. Because if you'll get God's word out and begin to confess His word out of your mouth, the Bible said, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I wish I had one amen in here. Your thermostat may be stuck tonight. The Bible said, listen, somebody said, well, you know, I feel so weak. I don't know if I'm able to, I got so many things going, I feel so weak. But the Bible said that Christ will strengthen you. Philippians 4:13. The other scripture about Him providing, Philippians 4:19. And so my point to you tonight is there's a resurrection connection between your mouth and the resurrected power of Jesus that's down on the inside of you. And if we'll get our mouth connected to the resurrection power, whatever is going wrong in your life will have to change. I said, there may be problems going on in your body, but the Bible said, let the weak say, I'm strong. I wish I had a bigger amen than that. Something's going on in your body. You ought to be over there in 1 Peter 2:24, who His own self bore our sins in His own body on the tree, so we being dead to sin could live unto righteousness, by whose stripes I was already healed. I wish I had a bigger amen in this Pentecostal crowd. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. I said, what is the problem? Get your thermostat unstuck, your mouth. Get your mouth connected to God's word, because the resurrected power of the Lord Jesus Christ is on the inside of you if you're a New Testament believer. And if you'll get your mouth connected to that power, your circumstances will change. Because there is a resurrection connection. It's your mouth. Praise God. And so we thank God. Stand up on your feet, my brother and sister. We thank God for giving us authority. Jesus took his authority and passed it on to the church. Glory to God. And we thank God for that. Whatever you need tonight, just lift one hand to the Lord. Father, we thank you and bless you and honor you. We reverence you with all of our hearts, our mind, our soul, and our strength. Father, thank you for the resurrection connection between our mouth, and the resurrected power of Jesus that resides on the inside of us. Father, if we've been saying the wrong things, believing the wrong things, then forgive us and help us to get our believing correct in our heart so that our speaking can be correct coming out of our mouth. Matthew 12:34. We thank you. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, thank you for changing, helping, healing, blessing, strengthening, whatever the need is tonight. We thank you for meeting people's needs. In Jesus' name. Our altar care workers are coming now. Somebody, you may be here and say, hey, I want to give my life to Jesus. That'd be the best decision you ever made in your life. Somebody might be here, you want to be filled with the mighty Holy Spirit. The initial evidence is speaking in other tongues. You may want that. Praise God. If you're a woman, go to the ladies. If you're a guy, go to the guys. You want somebody to agree with you in prayer. Something's going on. You need a prayer partner, somebody to agree with you. Come on down here. Let them pray for you. You won't leave like you came. In Jesus' name. You'll be here Wednesday night, Hour of Power. Again, happy Easter to everybody. We love you. God bless you.